Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 85. On tonight's show, we discuss the upcoming Splatfest. New My Nintendo rewards are out, and we give our first impressions on a few games, including Pokemon Go, Minecraft Wii U Edition Box Boy, and LEGO Star Wars The Force Awakens for the 3DS, plus your questions and so much more. Zach, cue the music.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is July 6th, 2016. Joining me tonight for some post-Baston Nintendo coverage, Justin Masson. What's going on, man?
That's right. I am back in Baston. It was wicked sweet, and I didn't lose my khakis. So yeah, it was great. It's great to be back. I'm excited. It's Wednesday. I realize again how much I enjoy doing this with you. So I guess that's why we return. Speaking of returning, but we're not 100% sure why, Jesse Waldack, VG Tribune. What's going on, buddy?
I don't know why either. I just show up and, you guys let me talk.
Yeah, dude.
We do. It's a thing. We like doing it.
Yeah. Hey, it's always a pleasure. And all, you know what I'm noticing is, it's just the three of us tonight. That's a thing.
It is.
That's been a while.
It's a long time. Yeah, it's a really little bit rare.
We usually
throw a lot of guests in here.
Yeah, we had the post E3.
A lot of guests, I was missing a week. Justin was missing a week.
Yeah, dude. Right on. Well, we've got lots to do, and we've got two shows to record tonight. So I think I'm gonna just go straight into the news, shall we?
Gosh.
That was louder than I expected. I got a slightly different setup
tonight. I didn't think it was necessary to deafen all of our fans, but I appreciate that nonetheless.
Hey, you know what? Nintendo Dad's the only audio show that will rob you of your sense of hearing. Right on. So, and of course, the news is brought to us by...
Brought to you by 1UpBox.com. Hey guys, if you enjoy geeky boxes sent to you every single month, check out 1UpBox.com. And... use the code NintendoDads, and they will give you some money off your first box. So we appreciate our partnership with 1UpBox.com.
Yeah, 1UpBox. Hey, you know what? You want to know why I think I was having crappy internet?
A little
behind the curtain thing is I had the audio file that was perpetually saving everything, saving into the Dropbox. So no wonder. Google Drive is now closed. Okay. Okay, so we're good. So that's why literally it was uploading it about as fast as we were recording it. Okay, so this week we got a little bit of news. You know, we got some stuff dropping like it's hot.
Dropping like it's hot.
This is a dad. That was anyway. Final Splatfest has been announced for June 22nd, which is what, like 2 weeks from now? 3 weeks from now? 3 weeks.
Yeah,
from
it's 2 weeks from this Friday.
Yeah. So
that's how time works.
Yeah, weird. So time is weird. And basically, yeah, so the final one is Callie versus Marie, which if you don't know who those are, then you don't play Splatoon. Callie and Marie are, of course, the Squid Sisters. The Amiibo are coming out this Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
As well. Yes. That's a thing.
I got my pre-order in.
So how do you guys feel about this being the last Splatfest? It's been... What? This is like 14 months into the life of Splatoon. How do we feel about this being the last Splatfest?
I don't really know. Well, here's the thing. I think I've only played like two Splatfests out of all of them. I just kind of, you know, like I appreciate they're there. I love the voting thing. I think they've had some really fun voting ones. I think, you know, Transformers, Pokemon. I think they've also had some really not great ones also. But I am kind of disappointed that they're pulling a plug in it. Cause I don't really think it takes, now again, I'm not a programmer, but I don't think it takes a lot of effort here. Does it really? I mean, this is something you could very easily keep going and doing, but,
a lot of the logic involved is repeated over and over again. It's just, you know, different text and different artwork.
It's literally
and different shirt skins. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's like literally just get the intern on the, you know, some art intern on, all right, we're going to do, what are we going to do? you know, we're going to do early birds versus night owls or whatever, right? And like, all right, do an early bird one and a night owl one, intern, and then it's done. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand why they're pulling that functionality from the game.
Well, I'm kind of wondering if this is kind of, if they are going to have a sequel, which a lot of people are hoping they use the name Splatoon.
Anyways, yes.
But they may continue too. Them in that game, but this is just the end of this game, so they can shift resources.
It just seems unnecessarily early, you know, like just a little bit over a year after it has been released. And this isn't to say that the online functionality is going away in Splatoon. In fact, they've actually come out and said no, online functionality is staying, which is good because that's like 90% of that game is, you know, the online stuff. But it's just weird to me, like, to think that I will never again be able to launch my Wii U and go into Splatoon and have the disco lights and all that sort of stuff going on. The fact that they spent all that time, dedicated all those resources to creating that cool new mode or the cool aesthetic to it, and then literally only do it like just over a dozen times over the lifetime of that game, it seems weird. I don't know.
Yeah, it feels like there's probably more of an opportunity there for them. So a little bit disappointed in that, but you know, I'm sure they're moving their resources and their talent team somewhere else.
With the new Amiibo, you'll be able to make it look like Splatfest anytime. You just won't actually have the Splatfest functionality.
Is that actually what those are for? Like, do they actually make it Splatfest in the game?
Well, my understanding is, you know, what I've seen from screenshots is, you know, the screen's black. You have Callie and Marie standing on big monitors, and I think that's pretty much what, and they're doing their thing.
Oh, I think that's what, so okay, so that almost makes it worse. because what they've done is they said, oh, you know that functionality that we've been giving you on a monthly basis? Yeah, we've taken that and we've locked it behind an Amiibo that you need to go purchase. That sucks.
But it's not full functionality, though, Zach. That's the thing you have to
remember.
Well,
that's the thing. I mean, I don't even really care. To me, it's less even about the, like, whether you're playing Splatfest or you're playing, you know, just the regular mode, you know, the regular battle in Turf War, right? That's always been the same anyways. What's different is that during Splatfest, the lights go down, the ink is neon, it looks way cooler in the game, and they've taken that aesthetic and that look, and they've taken it away, and they've locked it behind the Amiibo. That's dumb.
I'm not actually play on this one. It's just to see what it all happens. Because I've never played a Splatfest, so I don't know what it looks like.
Yeah, it's, well, because you go in the main square, and they've got those two big, like, they look like trailer trucks or whatever, and they're dancing on top of the trailer trucks, and the big speakers, and the lights, and the whatever, right? Like, there's a big rave going on in the center square there. So,
has the voting started yet, or is that starting up soon?
Yes, it has, actually. Yeah, me and my son, I left it to him, and he wanted to go with the green one, so we are Marie, Team
Marie.
Marie. Yeah.
I was going to ask what size of the waifu wars you two are on.
Although, if I'm honest with myself, if I had to choose, Callie has a little bit more of an edge to her, a little bit more grunge, a little bit more dangerous. So, I don't know. I let Nick pick, but, you know, she's got a little bit more of the bad girl in her, if you know what I mean.
I can make a joke there, but I want to keep this a clean show.
I already took it there, dude.
I was ready to make it worse. Anyway.
Justin's over here like groaning. What's going on with this?
If I get around to logging in to vote, I probably will do Callie.
Yeah, right on. So that's
Justin, have you answered?
Justin, are you
going? I chose Marie. I don't really have logic for it. I just chose a color.
So between the four of us, including your son, we're a 50-50 split.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's going on in a couple of weeks.
I expect the overall voting to be pretty 50-50 split.
Right. As well, just so everybody is aware of this too, this isn't in our notes, but I will mention it now. If you go into Miitomo, Miitomo has a Splatoon thing going on as well. So if you go into Miitomo right now, you can buy, with your like in-game coins or whatever, you can buy your The Splatfest t-shirts for your me. So whether you're Team Marie or Team Callie, you can buy both of those shirts in the store. It's not the Miitomo drop. It's actually just in the Miitomo shop. So you can go and buy your t-shirts there for each one and represent accordingly.
And you can also buy the Amiibo, or sorry, the Splatoon pin.
Yes, you can buy that as well. And I didn't notice this before, but I saw it and I bought it. There's also a Link shield and sword. Yep. Was that in the? I didn't see that before, but I guess that must have
just
been there.
It was a new arrival this week.
Yeah, I picked that up.
Yeah, so yeah. I got that as well. So I had a bunch of coins.
Miitomo's kind of stepping up their game a little bit last couple.
Yeah, days. What do you think of the 1.3 update? It's probably the biggest update that they've ever had.
I like the aesthetics, the aesthetic change as far as like they're showing, you know, what this question is. I like that. It's just a little bit more of an incentive to click on it. Like, oh, hey, if it's somebody who I actually care about, right? The question of the day is actually accessible now, which is nice, which is at the top there. It'll say this one. If you could give up one thing to be able to keep your using the internet for the rest of your life, what would it be? I don't know. Like my.
I answered. If I answered the internet, would that cause a recursive loop and end the world?
Nice. Other than that, like
I explained that to my son and I think his brain hurt.
Nice. Yeah, that's, I don't know. I like it. It's not that crazy though. It's there though. I don't know. It exists. But yeah, so that's Splatoon for you. So I actually went back and played Splatoon this week, just a little bit on Saturday or no, when was this? Tuesday? Time is hard. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to get back in that game. I forgot how fun that game is. So
it's a great game.
It really is fun. Game. It's really fun. So yeah, next up we have Just For You 30% off. Justin, you put this in here. What is this business?
I did. So this is the first time that it's my birthday in July. Happy birthday. I know you're welcome. You know, you don't need to send me stuff, but you can. Zach, it was your birthday last month. Did you get 30% off?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah. So I got a notice from Nintendo saying, hey, congratulations, your birthday. Here's your My Nintendo rewards. And they're giving me 30% off on stuff on the eShop for this month. So that was kind of cool.
They sent me a wallpaper.
I got the wallpaper and the 30%.
No, they sent me a wallpaper. Dang it, Nintendo.
Yeah, yeah, so that was kind of nice.
I think I might have gotten something in May, but I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, so they actually kind of give you I'm going to go to it right now. They give you a list of games that you can choose to get 30% off from. And I thought that I'll actually read you what the 3DS ones are. Bear with me 1 second. So I thought that was, you know, I think this is the first time that we've actually seen we have seen what that kind of like the rewards for you are specific to kind of you and that information. So I'll tell you kind of what they're giving me for the 3DS. I know on the Wii U, they gave me the option of
Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Yeah. Yeah. That one. So I can get that 30% off. What else can I get? A couple, I think Splatoon 30% off. A lot of games that I already had. But I'm actually just gonna pull it up now for Just For You. So you can actually go right into your the eShop on either the Wii U or your 3DS, and it will tell you what the applicable software is.
Cool. And so isn't it like generated by like some custom?
I don't know because probably not, because I have some of these. So for example, I can get 30% off on Mario and Luigi Paper Jam, Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon, Puzzle and Dragons, Z and Mario.
That's a good
Super
one.
Smash,
dude. That's a
Super
good
Smash
one.
Brothers, Kirby Triple Deluxe, Mario Kart 7, Super Mario Brothers 2, and then there's a couple games on the 3D on the Wii U. So that was kind of neat. And I have until the end of July to use that 30% off. I was kind of hoping to give you 30% off at anything you want in the store, but they have some boundaries, which I appreciate.
That's cool though. That's interesting. Yeah. I'm kind of bummed out that they didn't send anything to me, but
you know, it's just that you're not cool.
Well,
enough.
I think it actually is that just this month is the first time they've done it. I saw it could be elsewhere online.
It could definitely be. So I thought that was, yeah, it was very kind of cool to kind of get a birthday 30% off. So yeah, if you're, it's your birthday going forward, I suspect that's what they're going to do. Check it out though.
So could I just like go into the settings and like change it so that every month I get a discount? Is that a possibility?
I don't know.
Probably not.
that feels a bit sketchy.
That feels a little bit scandalous. Right on. Very cool. Next up, new Nintendo, My Nintendo Rewards started for July 1st. I feel like we talked about this, but I guess we didn't. Basically, there's some stuff you...
Well, the last show was before the
Yeah,
first.
No, that makes sense. So oh, you know what?
We knew it was coming. We just didn't know what they were
going
to be.
Right. It was actually me, and it was on our Patreon Hangout that we talked about this, actually, which neither of you were there for. So you would have known if you were there.
Yeah, that's when I was watching the movie that I talked about earlier.
Yeah, so that's the thing. But yeah, so there are some changes for sure. I missed out. I procrastinated getting the themes, the Mario and Donkey Kong themes, and I did not get them. So
hashtag fail.
Hashtag.
I've never been interested in themes, so I didn't care. But then, of course, when the Zelda one came out, I had to pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They, you know, looking at this month's discounts, I think they've got some pretty good ones on here, right? Earthbound, you can get 30% off. Ocarina of Time, which is already part of the select program, so that would be even more off.
You know, I bought that like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's too bad. Fire Emblem Awakening, that's new. Zach, you're a huge fan of that one. That's 30% off. Mario Kart 8, if you don't already have that, that's a must.
Kid Icarus Uprising, I don't know if we stopped on that. Kid Icarus Uprising, if you haven't played it, is really, really good. So consider it. I think it's definitely worth your coin. It's
one of those games like Star Fox, where it takes a while to get used to the controls, but once you understand the controls, then it's supposedly a good game.
Yeah.
I played one level and went, I don't.
Yeah, you got to stick with it.
It's ultimately a shooter. I'm sorry, but I don't care what skin you put on it. No, I don't like shooters.
It totally is. It's a third-person shooter on the 3DS. It's exactly what it is.
I can't think of the game. It's like it was originally on N64, and then they had a sequel on Wii. But it's very
Sin
similar.
And Punishment?
Yeah, very Sin and Punishment.
Kind of, yeah. And like the flying parts are, there's some Sky or some Star Fox in there as well.
Other notable mentions here is Super Mario 3D World. And then for digital content they can pick up, they have Metroid 2 Return of Samus, Wario Land 3, Super Mario 3, Donkey Kong 3, Super Mario Kart, Mario Kart 8 DLC Pack 1. They've got some skins through Bravely Second and Legend of Zelda. Still trying to give away that Legend of Zelda Picross thing. I don't know why they have that around.
Dude,
still.
It's good, man. It's good. I've been playing it.
Yeah,
it's good.
These games in the bottom section are pre-existing awards that haven't yet expired.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know what?
August 1st.
I just realized that I actually have enough gold coins to get this new Super Luigi U, which I have not. I don't have that. So.
New Super Luigi U.
That's anyway, a lot of gold points for a $15 DLC.
Yeah, but it's free though. That's the thing, is that if it's free,
and that's where they get you.
Yeah. I don't know. I could spend 40 coins on.
I don't even
Kong
have that
3,
many gold points yet. I'd rather just spend I did spend the $15 when it was new, and I played 3 levels and went, wow.
Yeah. So that's the thing. That's new stuff. I'm still having, me and Colin Harris actually on the Patreon Hangout had a talk about this. I'm a little bit disappointed with my Nintendo. Like every month is like, hey, new stuff, and every month I'm like, I feel like these 15% off, 30% off, I feel like that isn't enough for me to be excited. Like
especially since if these points are going to start expiring in September, if they don't give us anything worthwhile to spend it on,
I need to know
expiring points.
I need to know as well how much is going to be expiring, and they have not been transparent about that at all. Because if I just log on and all of a sudden I've got a bunch of points that are no longer there, I'm going to be ticked. Like I need to know ahead of time how many am I going to be losing, how much do I need to spend? Like, that's the kind of thing that they have not been transparent
at
all on.
And there's also speculation. You know, I'm hoping that gold points shouldn't expire because we're essentially paying for them.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other people that are thinking that they may expire too.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not. I don't know. We'll see. I've been spending mine. Like, I have 1,000. I have 1,600 platinum right now. So I don't have a ton.
Oh, I've got like 2,500.
Yeah. See, because I. Yeah. Right on. So that's a thing. Finally, I guess one more thing before we get into what we've been playing, and that's kind of like the last news story as well. But before we get to that, Nintendo this month, where was it? It was just this week. There was a thing here with the thing. Nintendo's general manager of
Wow, that's generic.
Yeah, Nintendo's general manager of entertainment planning and development, Shinya Takahashi, has mentioned that the company, this is from my Nintendo News, by the way, that I'm reading, mentioned that the company is exploring the mobile industry in multiple ways, including potential peripherals. Now, I just want to say, I've been saying this for like years, that what they need to do is release a Bluetooth controller specifically approved by Nintendo. That's like, yes, this is how you are to play. Like I've said, the virtual console app that you can download is whatever, you know, NES games or whatever you want onto your phone. And then you have an approved Nintendo controller that you can use.
You lose both of you.
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Justin, you there?
Yep.
Okay, we're back. So, thanks, Skype. So, as I was saying, I don't know how much you guys heard, but basically, what Nintendo is saying now is that they are looking into peripherals for smartphones. And I've been saying for a long time, like years, that what Nintendo needs to do is have some sort of a smartphone app or a tablet app or something. Where you can go out, buy a Nintendo approved controller that you can then launch your virtual console app and be able to play NES games or SNES games or whatever, and be able to buy them in the app. And you can imagine it probably just linked to your My Nintendo account, so that then, you know, you can have it connected over your Wii U and 3DS as well, but have virtual console almost be its own platform, and then have this third-party controller that Nintendo has created for that. So what Nintendo is saying, that's what I've been saying for a long time.
I've tried third-party controllers that look like NES controllers and SNES controllers, but they are so mushy.
Yeah, they're very mushy.
Don't feel right. Yeah. Like, oh, I just returned that. Ew.
Yeah, they're gross.
Don't want to touch it.
Yeah. So Nintendo basically is saying that they are now looking into potentially producing peripherals. Shinya Takahashi, has said physical controllers for smart device applications are available in the market, and it's possible that we may develop something new by ourselves. I believe Nintendo's way of thinking is to look at whether action games are really not impossible without a physical controller for smart device applications to create, and how we can make it happen to create. Okay, to create and how we can make it happen to create such a game. So basically,
I think that's just a weird translation.
That's a really weird translation. But basically what he's saying is maybe there are games that we would like to put on smartphones that need physical buttons. That's kind of my understanding of that. He also said that Nintendo was also interested in straying from the norm in mobile gaming and is committed to exploring different types of apps like Miitomo. President Tatsumi Kimishima agreed, adding that the Japanese smartphone game platform provider DNA and Nintendo have plans to launch various projects in the future, which is super vague and whatever. So the long and short of it is it's not just going to be touch. It doesn't necessarily have to be just touch screen games.
It's Nintendo's thinking about stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Nintendo is thinking about stuff. They're which we have already known that they're willing to stretch the boundaries and challenge the norm in the mobile space, which I think is good. That's what we want, right? So I don't know. What do you have any other thoughts on this, guys? Or like Justin, what are you thinking? Would you buy an iPhone controller that is like an iPhone case that Nintendo made that has buttons on it?
So I don't know if I would buy an iPhone case that has buttons on it, but the way that I was almost envisioning it is, you know, you use the statement of like the Nintendo Virtual Console app, right? So I do a fair bit of traveling. I like to travel with my iPad. And I would love the idea that I'm on a plane and I click on the Virtual Console iPad app or whatever, and there is Super Mario 3. And it's already downloaded. It's cached. It's cached on the iPad, but I have all of my virtual library there. And then I pull out this Nintendo-esque controller, right? The old classic NES controller. I kind of prop up my iPad screen, and then I just Bluetooth and start playing it. I actually don't mind that idea.
Sounds pretty good, right?
Yeah, I actually think that actually sounds pretty good. So I don't think it's a horrible idea. I do, and I've always said that I think that Nintendo, again, they're so focused on that experience, right? And so I couldn't imagine them doing, just a touchscreen kind of directional AB. So, I mean, this would kind of be the solve for that. But I also don't want to be like sliding my iPhone 6, you know, S into a skin of like a controller. I don't want that. I'd rather do it on like the iPad or bigger tablet, right? As opposed to something very small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was one of the early adopters of the iCade. Do you know what that is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In fact, I wrote a number of articles about it back on, you know, when it was just rumored back on VG Tribune. You know, initially started as a Think Geek April Fool's joke.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up turning out to be real. And that's got really good joystick and really good buttons. But the problem is it doesn't pair. It pairs with Bluetooth, but it doesn't pair as a controller. It pairs as a keyboard. And the way that the buttons and the joystick works are like keyboard presses. So like if I push up, it registers as a key. And then when I release up, it registers as a different key to show that up is no longer activated. So it's versus a controller is it sends a signal that's up and then it's a constant signal until I let go.
Mm-hmm.
So not a lot of games were compatible with it.
Okay. Yeah, that's the thing, right? Is like Nintendo's gonna come in and basically this is going to be something that is specifically designed for, like, I can see them even branding it as a virtual console controller. Nintendo virtual console control. Or something like that, right? Or something that is specifically branded for the game that it's meant for. I can see them doing that. I can also see them just kind of having some sort of some branded thing, you know, like not like in the same way that Amiibo is branded, right? So there's some sort of a branded thing that certain smartphone games can say they have. And Nintendo could even license that technology out to third parties if they wanted on iOS and Android.
Another device that I've owned, I'm trying to find it, but I don't see it around here. It was an add-on for, you know, I had my one and only Android phone before I started going iPhones was the Galaxy S, mm-hmm. the original Galaxy S, and the Sprint version actually had a slide-out keypad.
Hmm.
So if you slide out the keypad and then there's a overlay you put over the keypad. So you had a D-pad and a few buttons that would then press.
Oh, that's right.
Keys on the keypad. And that actually worked pretty decently.
Yeah. I saw is this the same thing? It was like a D-pad that had like a capacitive touch thing underneath. And so the app would line up perfectly. Yeah, that was weird.
Well, this didn't line up with the touchscreen. This lined up with the physical keyboard.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah. Okay.
Because it had a slide out keyboard.
Yeah.
So it was weird, the keys were very similar to like what the old BlackBerry keyboard.
Yeah, I think like basically the story here is Nintendo is finally catching up to the, or at least Nintendo is like running up against this idea of, oh, touchscreen buttons suck and things. And they're saying, yeah, we might make a controller in order to still be able to make the games we want. Because up until now, they're just like, no, nobody wants that kind of a game. And now they're like, well,
they've always known that, but they've always didn't care about making games for it.
Yeah. And now
that they care about making content for the mobiles, they want a controller that is usable.
Right. And the entire time that they were,
I applaud them for that.
Yeah. The entire time that they were not interested in doing it, they were saying, oh, nobody wants touchscreen buttons. And now they're saying, oh, there's a solution to that. So, which, well, yeah,
the hardware.
Of course. Of course.
Fancy that.
Of course, Nintendo, that was always the solution, but you just didn't want to do it. It's okay. Right on. So the last story, we're actually going to jump straight into what we've been playing because it's right along with it. So let's do it. All right. So today, no, I guess it was, what time is it? Last night, Jesse, you said it was about 9 o'clock your time.
Around 10 o'clock my time, 9 o'clock your time.
Yeah, so it was at around this time last night, we had a Nintendo dropped, I guess it wasn't Nintendo, it's the Pokemon company, Niantic.
Niantic is the one company who actually did the drop.
Right.
Because they're the copyright holder on the app.
Yeah, so basically what we have is Pokemon Go is live in certain countries around the world now. And we are, yeah, so it's super exciting for people who are able to get it, which is not very many people. By the way, can I just say one thing? Is looking at Niantic's Twitter account, Niantic Labs, they have had one tweet in the last 24 hours, and it was when Pokemon Go is now available in the US, Australia, and New Zealand. So I was under the impression that they didn't they say something like at E3 that they were going to do a global launch of this. Like, that was my impression. I could be wrong here, but that was my impression.
I would have expected a global launch at least within 24 hours if they did a waved rollout, but they kind of didn't do that.
Yeah, it's weird, right? So I don't know. So now there is a way to go or to get around this. I actually last night. All you need to do is get an Australian iTunes account, and it's fine. You can do it. It works. It's hardly cheating. It's like I don't think it's, well, actually, in the fact
just don't try to buy anything
here. No, yeah, that's the one thing, and I will get to that because it's clear to me that buying things in this game is going to be. Well, like, my biggest criticism so far of it is that buying things in the game may actually make it seems like it's almost necessary to have an enjoyable experience, especially with little kids. So I'll get to that in a second. So basically when you start out, I'm level 4 now. My son's school, which is like a block away from where I live, is a Pokemon gym, which is super cool. There's some Pokestops fairly close to where I live, so I can get free items and things. But here's the thing: is that it's what I was concerned about was the Ingress model, right? Because it was basically Ingress with a Pokemon skin, which is exactly what it is. The difference is that Nintendo. Or the difference is that Pokemon skin is actually a really good thing for this game. It actually adds a lot of logic to it, a lot of, like, it makes it much more intuitive. Whereas with Ingress, it was like, oh, here's this weird hub thing. What the heck is this supposed to be? I don't know. We're supposed to fight over this hub or something.
I was confused.
Yeah. So this one's a lot more simple. It's like, here, go to this one, get some free items, like get some free Pokeballs, get some whatever, and then go to the gyms. And fight for control of the gyms. That's basically right now the whole game. And so this morning I woke up and I told my son, all right, I got Pokemon Go. Let's go for a walk. And we went out and we started looking around and I noticed that there is an item there called Incense, which is something that attracts wild Pokemon to you. And during that walk, it lasts for 30 minutes. So I used it. I think they give you 2 to start. We caught like a dozen Pokemon within 30 minutes and we weren't even really trying to, you know, we weren't really going crazy with it. We could have probably gotten more, but I had my 3-year-old daughter. We were all just going on a walk around the park. Right. So we ended up getting like 12 of them. It was super fun, really exciting. And I mean, it was a motivating factor to get my kids out of the house. Later on, when I didn't have that incense, we went out again, like I went out again tonight after the kids were in bed, and I did the same lap and probably got like, I kid you, probably like two Pokemon within the same amount of time, two or maybe three, which when you're walking around trying to catch them and you can see the little, like you can see where the Pokemon are going to be. There's this sort of like, it's the equivalent of like the rustle in the grass, right? The long grass where there's like little leaves that are spurting up on the map. And you're like, oh, there's a Pokemon right there. It's right around here. But I know the thing that bugs me is I know that I could pay money, you know, and I can't buy them yet, which is probably a good thing for me to just enjoy this game the way, you know, at the free level. But to just know that, like, I could pay money and these Pokemon would be easier for me to catch. They'd be easier for me to run into. And that does not feel good if this is a game that they're wanting people to be excited about. So having said that, though, like the motivating factor to get out into the community, I had this great experience tonight where my kids and I, before we actually went out two times with my kids and then I went out again tonight by myself because I really wanted to get familiar with it for the show. And my daughter needs to go on a walk to actually fall asleep sometimes. Otherwise she's crazy wired. But basically we went out across the street and as we're walking around, we notice, oh, hey, there's a bunch of people here. And they're like, oh, by the way, it's this big community event thing. It's free, being put on by the city. Here is free pulled pork on a bun right now. And I'm like, Pokemon Go just got me free pulled pork. You win.
Bonus.
And there's the title episode right there.
Right, you win, Nintendo. Free pulled pork because of Pokemon Go, and like basically it's not just about the pulled pork, it's about actually getting me out into the community in a way where I'm like, oh, I stumbled upon this free community event that was going on anyway. I was there to catch a freaking horsey and I got free pulled pork instead, right? So that's sweet. It's cool, and I can foresee, you know, pulled pork aside, I can see how this is going to get people out into the community, getting them out, you know, and working outside, getting to know each other, getting to meet other people, getting them into the sun. I think it's going to be a really good thing for me and my kids, and frankly, from a parenting perspective, just that little bit of extra incentive of, hey, boy, let's go out and go for a walk in nature instead of you sitting on the iPad. By the way, hey, we're going to go and look for Pokemon too. And that's just that little bit of extra incentive to get the momentum going, which can be a struggle with kids sometimes, you know, with pulling them away from the TV and whatnot, just to be able to say, all right, we're going to go and catch some Pokemon while we're out in nature right now. So I don't know.
I kind of had a similar experience when I was – think not last Thanksgiving, but the Thanksgiving before, mm-hmm. when I was at Oklahoma visiting my wife's mother. I decided to go on a walk, so I knew there was a park, you know, about a quarter mile down. So I walked to the park, and I see just a whole bunch of people standing there, tons of boxes. Maybe it was Christmas, before Christmas. It was one of those holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just handing out these boxes. I'm like, oh, what's going on here? Oh, where were so-and-so's church just handing out these boxes. If you want one, go ahead and take one. Like, sure, I'll take one. It was really, I didn't know what was in it. Really heavy. You know, walked home with this big heavy box. It was basically Christmas dinner in a box.
Wow, dude.
Yeah, just for walking randomly on a street one day.
Yeah, like my kids got library cards at this thing. Like free library cards for the, which I had a library card, but now they have one and they thought that was about the coolest thing in the world. So you know, just another one of those, hey, get out of your house and go out and meet people because of Pokemon Go. So very cool. Justin, you have not played it yet. Jesse, you said you have downloaded it. Have you? What's your experience been so far?
Yes. So I downloaded it just before I left to pick up my kid from church. So while I was sitting in the car setting things up, I set my avatar. And then so I caught two Pokemon sitting in the car.
Nice.
Like Bulbasaur and Execute.
Cool. I think one, Bulbasaur, was your starter, right?
Yeah. Though, okay. If I had realized what was going on, I would have picked Charmander because I always go for the fire.
Yeah.
But I picked I picked Bulbasaur just because that was the one closest to me on the map.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I didn't. I was in the car. I didn't want to have to walk over there to get it. I didn't know if it was going to make me do that or not.
You're gonna like walk over there with your phone, and like with while your son is your son walks out of church, and it's like, Dad, what are you doing?
Yeah, I wasn't even in church yet. I was still at home.
Oh, okay, didn't
leave,
cool.
I didn't even leave yet.
Okay.
Anyway, so I did that and put it away. So picked him up, got home, then I went on my walk.
Mm-hmm.
So how far would you say your walk was?
The first one that we went on, that 30-minute walk with the when we used the item to, I think it ended up being like 1.2 kilometers or something like that, which is
just shy of a mile.
It's like half a mile, maybe. Yeah.
But yeah, they were in the 3/4 because I walked about a mile, which is about 1.6 kilometers.
Okay.
And you know, so I first walked toward the direction of the Pokestop, which is
where you
the
get
church
the,
okay, quarter mile. It's a different church, quarter mile away.
Right. It's like and where you get the free items and stuff, right?
That's yeah, a I got 3 Pokeballs for that.
Cool. Have you gotten any eggs yet? By the way.
You have any what?
Eggs.
No.
Okay. I'll talk about that
I don't
in
think
a second.
So. Wait, so then I continued to walk. I walked up to my kids' elementary school, found a gym across the street from that. It looks like about where the video rental store is.
Okay.
Yes, we still have one.
Wow. Was there like a red box or like their staff?
Their staff.
It's
a family video.
Nice.
So it's like a poor man's Blockbuster, yet they're still in business.
Cool.
Anyway, but I didn't. The game said, yeah, there's a gym here, but you should wait until you're level 5.
Yeah, that's what it sold me to.
So I said, okay, fine. I wasn't wanting to walking over there anyway. So I walked home. How many Pokemon encounters did I have?
Like
zero.
Zero, yeah.
Zero.
They need to be more frequent.
I saw a few grass rustling, but of course that was, you know, half a block down on a road I wasn't planning on going.
Mm-hmm.
And then right, you know, across the street from my house, I saw this pulsing white circle. I'm like, I don't know what this is. So I stand as close to it as I can. I don't want to walk in the circle because now I'm in my neighbor's yard, which I really don't want to be in my neighbor's yard.
Right.
So I tried tapping the screen where it is and nothing happened.
Uh-huh.
I put a picture on my Twitter account saying, what is this? And what is it? You know,
it sounds to me like a bug, frankly. Like what it sounds like to me, because I've had this happen a couple of times where it's bugged out for me. Both of them have been around the time when you're going to catch a Pokemon. So mine was, I had one where I tried to throw the Pokeball and the game froze and then it crashed. And then I went back and the Pokemon was still there, but I hadn't caught it or anything. And so I just started the encounter over again. That was the first one. The second one was, I threw one and I got it into the ball, but then it froze. And then I went back into the game and it showed that I had caught it, which was good. But what it sounds like with yours, that's a possibility is a Pokemon may have spawned near you, but then the game wigged out and the actual 3D model of the Pokemon didn't show up. And so then when you tried to do it, like their servers have been pretty swamped. Like it's been up and down from the big part of the day today where the Pokemon servers are just, the Pokemon Go servers are just like, yeah, you know, like they're just taking a dump right now. So, yeah, so I think that likely is what happened because what happens usually is a circle like that will show up, but there will be a Pokemon in there and then you tap on it to initiate the encounter to catch
it. Yeah, I tried tapping on it in the case that maybe it was a Pokemon that just didn't fully spawn, yeah. But it didn't do anything.
Yeah, it's probably just a glitch because of the server issues.
Then I did find other Pokespots on the map, but they were outside of where I wanted to walk.
Yeah.
They were probably able to put me an extra quarter mile out of my way, which means my mile walk would have ended up into almost a 2-mile walk if I made that extra distance.
You know what, though?
I don't have time for that right now.
It's nice, though, because it, like, when you're out on a walk, like, it is a little bit more of a motivator to, like, you know what, maybe I will actually walk over this way and check this out. Or you look at the map and you're like, oh, I've actually never been over in this direction before, but there's a thing over there, and so maybe I'll be lucky and do that, right? So Yeah. It's pretty cool. I like it.
Weekends or, you know, when I have more time to do more exploring, I definitely will. It's just that particular walk, I knew I didn't have time because we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'd probably still be outside.
Exactly. Yeah. So I definitely plan on playing around with it a whole bunch more. So hopefully Nintendo, hopefully they officially launch it in North America, or in North America, Justin. Hopefully it's launched in North America soon. including Canada. So,
and what I have heard in on, you know, I saw this on Twitter, which from some Twitter accounts that don't really look too reputable. So take it with a grain of salt. But, you know, some people were, you know, downloading APK files to, you know,
my brother's done that on Android
to download, to install on their Android manually.
Yeah.
And this, the word is that they are device banning.
I heard that too, and I don't buy that for a second.
I don't know if it's true or not, but just kind of a, just, you know, in the off chance it is true, just wait till it's really out.
I don't think they're gonna, I don't think they can do that on iOS. I don't think they have permission to do that. Maybe they do.
No, not a, but, you know, not on iOS, but I don't think you can manually install on iOS either. But Android, you can do a hell of a lot more.
Yeah. Android, you've already made bad choices in life. You, we deserve.
Justin, do you have any questions about it, man? Like, what are your, like, is this sounding like something you're interested in, or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely interested to give it a go. I am a little bit worried of, you know, is it going to kind of catch my attention for a week and then drown out? I've kind of heard that statement already.
Me too, 2.0.
Yeah, I do like your statement, though, Zach, of like, of getting out and exploring the world, which is exactly actually what we overheard them saying in E3.
Yeah.
Is that was really what they're aiming to do. But I find it funny. It's like, we want to go and explore the world, but by the way, put a screen in front of your face to do it.
Yeah, like you, like, right? I don't know if you can see, like, if my camera's working, but my son was literally the whole time walking around like this, like with this phone, like, in front of him and whatever. And I was like, which, I mean, to be fair, it's better that he's doing that than at home, right?
Inside,
like,
the house, yeah.
Like, it was fun. I did hear, and we, it was,
I did, cool. I did hear some funny stuff. I guess in Australia, one of the gyms was put at a police station.
Yeah.
So a bunch of people were showing up there. And like the Australian, I think, police actually put out warnings, like, or on a mention of like their Twitter account, like, hey, by the way, could you please look up where you're going?
Well, and they said, so too, they were saying, like, you don't have to come inside the police station to get your Pokeballs. You can stand outside and do it. That will work just fine.
Yeah, I think this game will definitely kind of take the world by storm. I actually even heard about it today on the radio driving home, like on the local radio station, about how Pokemon was out. So it was kind of crazy, but it's exciting. The Pokemon, the Go Pro or whatever, the Go.
Yeah, the Pokemon Go Plus.
Yeah, Go Plus. It'll be interesting to see what that, how that works in the end and entitled, how it works. But yeah, I'm excited. Obviously, as a person who travels a fair bit, to take this with me and see where I can capture different Pokemon. Dude, I'll try it for a bit. So
it's cool too. How, actually, I was just I was at a UPS today because I was sending something, because postal strike in Canada. That's great.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah. So, but it was like right across the street from the West Edmonton Mall, dude. That place is like, there are Pokestops like all over the mall, and there are like three different gyms in the mall. It's awesome. So I'm going to go in there and, like, before I choose my team or my color or whatever, because at level 5, you've got to choose your team, right? So I'm going to go in there and I'm going to see what teams are rocking it at the West Edmonton Mall, and then choose my team from there. Because there are already gyms by the time at, like, noon, at, like, I was about to say noon o'clock. At about noon today, when I was there, there were all, the gyms were already claimed by people, and there were big Pokemon on the top of the gym, like, protecting their honor or whatever. So it's already a thing at that mall, which is, I mean, it's, to be fair, one of the biggest malls in the world, but that was pretty awesome. So we will definitely check that out. We'll be giving more impressions as that goes on. I think what's important for that game, though, is that they continue to update it with more content, and they continue to have a provide people with a reason to come back, right? And they've said as much, that that's part of their plan. But so for
not,
now,
not to collect just 50 Pidgeys.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, the other thing I was gonna say is that it seems like there is a potential for, like, swarms, basically. Like, there was, like, on my walk with my son, we ran into 7 or 8 drowsy. Like it was over half of what I caught was just drowsy, which was crazy. But anyway, so that's a thing. Pokemon Go. Any other thoughts on that before we move on, guys? Okay, moving on. Next up, the other thing that I've been playing, Nintendo provided us with a review copy of Minecraft for the Wii U, which was super nice of them and really awesome. And I have played quite a bit of it now. And I mean, first of all, if you have played Minecraft, this is definitely Minecraft, right? And it's the same thing. I've never actually played console Minecraft before. I've only ever played it on the PC, and it is definitely, Jesse, have you played Minecraft on the PC before or on the console before?
Not on the console. I've played a little bit on the PC and really didn't care for it.
Yeah. So the controls are like the crafting, I guess, specifically, on the console is a lot different. I prefer the PC version, I guess, as far as the controls and the crafting and that side goes. What is cool though is the specific Nintendo stuff. So for those of you who don't know, the Wii U version has a Super Mario, like a Super Mario world, where they've basically created a ton of Mario sculptures and whatever, and the entire world, and the entire thing has a skin. There's a Mario skin that even if you start like a survival mode, but you want the Mario skin, you can do that. But the Mario world is really, really cool. Like, it's very, very well done. There's lots of different areas that you can go in, and it's cool because you start and there's like a big sculpture of Mario, and you can kind of like go to the different areas. There's like a big Toad one, and then in the snow area, and they've kind of, you know, as the climate changes around the world, you can just see the different themes as they're kind of playing with them in the game, which is cool. And then for those of you who have played Minecraft before, you know about the Nether, which is basically the Minecraft equivalent of like hell, I think, you know, like, yeah. Right. And so you basically have to create a portal in order to get to the Nether, like made out of obsidian stone, and you strike them, you light it on fire and all that kind of stuff. And that gets you to the Nether. And as soon as you get to the Nether, like I step out of my portal and I realize I'm on this enormous sculpture of Bowser, and like all of the Nether is themed like Bowser's castle type stuff. And it's got the Bowser music, and I kind of like, so I'm standing on this Bowser and I look over across this huge like crevasse to see like this huge Bowser castle that has been built and stuff too. So I was like, holy crap, this is amazing. And I was playing in creative mode at the time, but you can play it in survival mode too. So I think I'm actually going to just create like a survival mode in that world. And just like, I don't know, I actually started it and like I'm hollowing out the Toad sculpture so that I can live in it and then go from like explore from there. So I don't know. It's pretty cool though. I like it. It's definitely a cool experience to kind of have that, the fusion of those two things together. So, and my son, the thing with Minecraft is like some kids really take to it and some kids don't. And I don't know what it is, but Nick, I think it hasn't been as interesting to him, but I'm not entirely sure why. And so I'm gonna see if I can get him to mess around a little bit more with that. But
yeah. My son has played a little bit of it, you know, on the PC, but I think my youngest daughter has played the most. And I do have a server, which is currently powered off because otherwise it's loud. But the server hardware does have Minecraft server on it that the kids can then log into.
Nice.
It's sometimes they play multiplayer with their uncle who will log in.
Yeah.
And some they, you know, they'll give out the RRP address to their friends so they can log in.
Very cool. Yeah, it's but cool.
They haven't done that in a while.
I like it. It's fun. And like I've played Minecraft on the PC for a long time. And if you haven't played Minecraft in general, like just at all, what are you doing? Minecraft is great. It's one of those games that is just so, it, it's, it, it's so easy to just get into this like zen-like state with Minecraft where you're just like, all right, I'm just digging out this big hole. I'm digging a hole and I'm going to find some iron and then I'm going to build a, you know, like it's just, you just continually go progress
Find this bat cave.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you'll be mining forever and, you know, making torches and whatever. And yeah, exactly. And then all of a sudden you like just fall, you know, chip through the wall and all of a sudden you're in this huge cave and you're like, what is going on in here? Which, by the way, the bats in the Mario one, I'm pretty sure it's the Pokemon Zubat. Like, it seems like it, at least. Like, it's
I figured it'd either be that or Keese from Zelda.
It might be. I'm pretty sure it looked like a Zubat, really. I could be wrong on that, but it looked like it. So, yeah. So that's basically what I've been playing. I also picked up Skylander Superchargers on deal at my local Best Buy. So that is a thing that I have started playing. I got it for super cheap, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, that's I probably have more impressions later on with that. So, Justin, what have you been playing, man?
So just before we transition off of Minecraft, it was so funny that you were mentioning it. Yesterday, both of my daughters asked me, "Hey, Dad, when can we get Minecraft and play it?"
Really?
Yeah, they were watching some Minecraft videos on YouTube, and they're like, "Can we play Minecraft on the Wii?" And I was like, "Yes, but no." And where were you 2 weeks ago with this urgency to want to play it? So I thought it was kind of funny, actually.
That's awesome.
So I have some first impressions. Sorry, go ahead.
I just remembered we do own Minecraft for PS3 because my kids will play that, but I haven't touched that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I do have some kind of like first impressions. I downloaded Box Boy, the sequel to Box Boy.
Can I just say that that's a terrible name for a sequel?
Yeah.
It's just so bad.
I'm waiting for Box Boy 4 where they just call it Cubed.
Yeah. Anyways, sorry. Continue.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm not too far into it. It feels very similar to previous Box Boys and the premise of solving with the bricks. The nice part is now you can have more than one brick. You have two blocks or two boxes to kind of do with as you please. So that changes the dynamics of the puzzle. So it's kind of cool. I questioned at times whether I felt like it should have been its own separate game or just like a DLC extension. Mm. As opposed to, and I'm sure there's enough content there to justify it, but it just kind of felt like, you know, the premise is similar to what you're doing already. Could this just be an extension or an extension pack or something? But
how much is the purchase cost?
I think it's like $8, I think.
That's not so bad.
No, it's not too bad. But I mean, it kind of felt like you'd probably be like, hey, $3 or $4 for a DLC and you get, you know, the next chapter. You could even, it feels like it could be different.
Dude, your internet. Okay. Are you back?
That's going to be awesome to listen to.
Yeah, I thought so.
Okay, sorry. You were like a Cylon. Anyway, continue. I think you're better.
You weren't even a robot. You were worse.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. So yeah, it's not too bad. I'd recommend giving it a go. But I'd probably say if you're questioning whether you want to get it, start with the original Box Boy. Play that first. But again, I mean, the premise is solve puzzles using boxes. You have a limited amount that you can use, but it's pretty cool. Check it out.
Nice.
The second one I've been playing is Lego Star Wars for the Force Awakens. And I played Lego Star Wars games previously. I played Indiana Jones and Batman. I thought they were okay, but I haven't really gone back to them for a while. And I went, and I don't know why, but like when this trailer came out a couple of months ago, it like just caught my attention and it looked amazing. So I went and picked it up, and this is such a great game to be playing with the family and playing with the kids, and is such a great first, introduction.
Is this your first Lego game with the kids?
No, they've been playing. They played Indiana Jones as well and
okay.
Batman.
Okay, so it's been a while though.
Yeah. So I've helped them play that together, but this is, you know. Even when I was thinking about introducing my kids to Star Wars, You know, where was the starting point? This is such a great starting point for them, I think, because it does it in its Lego cuteness way, where it tells its story, but perhaps in more of a kid friendly kind of way. And a great example is kind of in the first scene in when Poe Dameron is getting the secrets, you know, the map, and Kylo Ren comes to the village and is basically kills, spoiler alert, sorry here, but kills Poe Dameron's, you know, kind of inside man who had the map. They don't do that in Lego, right? Like your Lego, you're not going to kill someone, right? They're not going to strike the lightsaber across them. And
right,
and in this, yeah, the Lego guy has a hard time. Kylo Ren, his lightsaber doesn't work, and it's just not going well. And so finally he uses like a force push and just like throws him off the world. And then like other scenes, you know, it's a cut scene to a Star Destroyer in space. And sure enough, there he is floating in space, smiling and waving at you. Right. So just kind of like that cute Lego way of telling a story, but making it kid friendly and accessible. They also do a great job of, you have your partner in the first couple levels, you have Poe Dameron and you have BB-8, and you know, you need to swap between the puzzles to use who you need to. So I think that's brilliantly well done. The voice acting, I think, is quite well done. Between load scenes in the chapters, they actually bring in like old school arcade games to kind of play that remind me of very much how Splatoon did it. And so like there's a level where you're playing as like a wired frame Millennium Falcon shooting down TIE fighters. And that's the load screen. Like as it's loading, you're kind of not noticing it because you're kind of doing a little activity on the top screen.
Sounds like a throwback to the original Star Wars arcade game.
Yes. Which
was vector graphics.
Sure. Yeah.
So they had a port for Atari 2600 that I have.
It could be for sure. So I thought that was really, really cool. I like the other thing about the Lego games, which I've always kind of felt like, you know, if you've played a Lego game before, you find the MacGuffin or whatever the Lego part is, you break it, then you have to reassemble it, and you reassemble it into something, right? And that moves forward. In this, when you're reassembling it, you actually don't necessarily reassemble it into what it was meant to be, but there are three other areas or spots that you can reassemble it, and they have different things it's built into. So in a lot of times it's, you know, for example, there's water tower. You basically have to move water to activate it. So first you break the MacGuffin, then you kind of like turn it into this platform. The BB-8 has to spin the water tower over to open it up. Then you need to break that piece again, then use it as like a power converter, get the water in there, Then you need to move it back to the thing for BB-8 to use to spin the water tower. Then you need to break it up again. Then you use it as a target shooting. So it's a lot of kind of like puzzle thinking, puzzle problem and thinking, which I really rather enjoyed. So I think it's a great game to play with kids, sit down and work through levels together. And again, it's just a fun, enjoyable, like the thing about it as I'm playing is I just keep finding myself smiling.
Yeah.
And I think Lego games do that. I think they've done it well in the past. I know that Zach, you've had some issues with the last Marvel game you weren't super impressed with, but there's something about Star Wars.
No, and I still like the Marvel one as well. I did like it for sure. In fact, we've been playing it some more too. I'm gonna let you finish though. Go ahead.
But I mean, you kind of wrap those things together with Star Wars, with Lego, with kind of the energy and the excitement around The Force Awakens and the story it tells. There's a lot of kind of like trophies and rewards. So I think this is both a great game for kids, a challenging game for experienced gamers. It's a lovely entry into Star Wars itself. If you haven't got your kids into it, it's a great first game. I think this is definitely a must if you're looking for a game. And also relatively reasonably priced when I look at retail games. This was $40 Canadian. I think it's actually,
whoa,
30
really?
American.
That's it?
So,
that's
yeah,
all that
it's,
is,
it's
eh?
Not, it's, yeah, so I think this is definitely one. If you're thinking about, you know, I'd combine this with like Kirby, Planet Robobot, and you've got a bang up lineup right there.
Oh, that's awesome, games, dude!
Kids. Yeah, so definitely pick it up. And I think there's some download play in it.
Was on the 3DS. I thought this was on the Wii U.
Yeah, you know, I picked it up on the 3DS.
Oh,
so
okay.
There is. I have to double check though. Again, I've only got a couple hours into it, but these are my first impressions, and I think it's definitely well worth your time.
Very cool.
Yeah, the Wii U version is $50 US.
So it's still a little bit cheaper than a full price game then.
Yep.
I like it. I like that. That's cool, man. I love the, I just love the
checking the 3DS price here.
Yeah, I love the Lego jokes that 30. That are in there. Like they're like the, in the Avengers one, it's like Nick Fury just constantly has like a milkshake in his hand. And this was even in the old one too, where he's just like, he's constantly carrying around a milkshake or something and he'll like throw it to one of the SHIELD agents and, you know, stuff like that. And it's so funny. Just little gags like that constantly.
Yeah,
that just makes it really enjoyable.
And you can even see that playing out here as well.
Yeah.
It's so well done. It's just brilliantly. I love watching the cutscenes because I'm like, I know how this is supposed to go, right? And yeah. They've got the voice acting like they're lining up to make it go. And then you're like, oh, but you're not going to kill someone. So how are you going to do this? And it's quite comical. They just do a brilliant job of it.
Yeah. Right on, dude. Very cool. Awesome. Jesse, what have you been playing, good sir?
Hey, I already talked about Pokemon Go. I had wanted to bring it up last week, but it slipped my mind because Justin wasn't around to remind me. But we wanted to have a back and forth with Mighty Number 9.
Oh, yeah. Dun, dun, dun. Do I have a thing for that? I don't think so. Sorry, go ahead.
I don't remember if I might have streamed it. I don't remember if I did or not, but I didn't really get very far into it. I just felt, I was going into this expecting a Mega Man-ish game. You know, and Mega Man even, still runs relatively smooth and, will do what you would tell it to do most of the time. But Beck just seems clunky.
Okay.
I don't know. Just the way the art style ended up, his idle stance is just so uncomfortable to even look at. His arms are like way out here. I'm like, how is that your default position? That makes no sense.
That's awesome.
And when he's running, yes, I understand you're supposed to be a robot. So was Mega Man, but he still ran smoothly. But you run like you're weigh 50 tons. You can hear every footfall, and the motion actually stops walking for a brief second before continuing on. Even though at his full sprint, he's still going, it's I'm like, that really bothered me.
Right.
So I managed to finish the tutorial. I got to the area where I can choose which of the other mighty numbers I wanted to deal with. And I said, all right, fine, let's do Mighty Number 1. And I got, I don't know how far I got because I never got to the end boss, but it just the way halfway through the level with falling platforms and fire and with the clunky motion that doesn't seem to do what I want it to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't think I can play this game.
Yeah, that's
part of it is me sucking because I also sucked at Mega Man games, but at least Mega Man didn't make me want to throw a controller through the TV.
Yeah.
It was tough because of level design, not because of controls or garbage. There is a distinct difference.
It really does from what everybody has said, it really does feel like this is like it looks like it's just an unpolished like novice indie game. And I don't mean that in like a knock against indie developers because they're doing the best they can with what they've got. But
look like a $3 million game.
Yeah. Like what is going on here? I don't understand that at all. And I
$30,000, I would have, let a lot of this slide, but he had AAA levels of funding going on with this.
Do you feel like this whole issue with their online code, like that really, it feels like that was almost them getting off course where if they would have just focused on, let's just keep it a single player game,
how many people have even played the multiplayer part? I don't even know where that is.
Yeah. Like that's, It's just so dumb.
Did they bury it so deep that they don't want people to find it?
I don't know. Like, that's the thing. That's what it makes me think, is that it's so – that they got so distracted by the online functionality that they just didn't even do anything. It's weird.
And my understanding is the online being ready on day one was a requirement of having the publisher doing the physical release version part.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they had just kept it digital and single player focused, it probably would have been a lot better. And we probably would have gotten it 9 months ago.
Yeah. I don't know, but dude.
Yeah, it was a rough game. It really pissed me off, and I don't think I ever want to go back to it.
Yeah.
There was rumors going around that game was actually bricking Wii U's. I don't know if how true that is.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of does make me worry. I don't want my Wii U broken.
Yeah. It's just weird, man. Okay. Justin, do you have anything to add about that?
You know, I know I talked about it a couple of weeks ago after it came out. I would agree with Jesse. I think the challenge, you know, it's funny. You know, Jesse, your statement was you just sucked at Mega Man because it was hard. This you just sucked at because it was bad game design. And I think that's a lot of what I would agree with as well. I think the controls are not as tight as they should be. I do think it boils down to this. It's not a great game. It's not a horrible game. It's a lifeless game.
Yeah.
It feels very just going through the motions. Feels like there's nothing behind it. And I think when you put it to the pedigree of it is a spiritual successor to Mega Man, you are building a expectation for yourself that you will never meet and you will fail. And you know, I think it's, you know, I was thinking about it yesterday. I thought this will go down and, like, you know, I have a physical copy of it. And I was like, I'm going to return this to GameStop or EB Games to get some money. And I thought, no, because this is like a relic, right? This is a moment in gaming history where something went really bad that could have went really awesome. And we may want to hold on to this. You know, and it's a game that, you know, but I do agree. It feels like, and again, we're not knocking any developers, right? But it feels like this is a 2 or 3 man studio kind of project from a university team, right? Or as a final, you know, assignment, as opposed to, you know, a almost $4 million Kickstarter project from Anafune. So,
yeah, I think the best summary of the game came from the YouTube channel Really Freaking Clever. You know, he does a lot of, you know, 64 things wrong with blah, 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 blah game. So right. He had a 99 things wrong with Mighty Number 9.
Oh wow!
And it's a funny video. Go back, you know, go find it. But he shows a screen of, you know, the big professor, the skinny professor, Beck, and I think Paul was there, just standing around talking. You know, no mouths are moving.
Yeah.
And they're all just stationary or doing some weird, funky idle animation. I don't know. He described it as it looks like a PS2 game meant for a mediocre kids cartoon that didn't have a mediocre kids cartoon attached to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that totally. That's totally like it's like the quality of like a crappy licensed game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's just if you want to hear an interesting opinion of it. You know, I don't usually like to point people to other directions to listen to stuff, but I would say go over to Kind of Funny Games, and Colin Moriarty, who is a huge Mega Man fan, provides his review of it. It's about 25 minutes long, where him and Tim and Greg talk it out. But you know, he mentioned some really good points about it as well. So yeah, I don't know. I think that's kind of all I want to say about Mighty Number 9. But it was interesting, Jesse, to kind of see that you and I both had the same opinions. Obviously, you took the approach from being a backer who actually vested money in it, who had a vested interest long in, and I took the approach of I'm just a guy walking to a game shop and picking it up. So,
and neither of you liked it. That's a
yeah. And again, it's not great. It's not bad. It is what it is, right?
It's just totally, which almost makes it worse.
Yeah.
Let's be like, if it would have just been absolute garbage, maybe we would have felt better.
There are some cool ideas in it, right? Like I do think the kind of the boost and these kind of combo attacks, I do think are very neat and very cool premise. But I think that those things are pretty thin and mediocre. And there are moments where you feel like, yeah, I could see how this is Mega Man. I could see how you're getting there. But those moments are very faint and thin, that and they're very short, that it's almost like a, like they don't really quite exist, right? If you want me to believe you're Mega Man, I need to feel like it's a Mega Man game the entire way through and through, not these very like 15-second bursts or 10-second bursts scattered maybe once or twice between a level that make you kind of, you know, reoccur some kind of memory in there. But yeah.
Okay, then I have one more game I wanted to talk about if we're done with this one.
Yes, let's go for
sure.
It.
Sure.
And I like how someone pre-populated the games that they thought I was going to talk about and added Sharp FE, but I didn't get very far, much further into that game to talk enough about it. So I want to talk about something else that did occupy my time.
Okay, let's do it.
I think Justin mentioned in the pre-show that we had Independence Day.
Right.
So what does that, you know, for a lot of people, it means fireworks and celebrations, but to gamers, what else does it mean?
Independence Day, the movie. I don't know.
No. Steam sale.
Oh, yes.
So I picked up a few games, and the one that really sucked me in, and I'm surprised it sucked me in, I wasn't expecting to get this much out of it, was Prison Architect.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of a SimCity-ish type of game, and they have a freeform mode, and then they also have a campaign mode where it kind of says, you know, gives you a list of objectives. Some of it's required to move on, some of it's optional, and you just kind of go through the motions. And it really grabbed me in. I think in 4 days I put in over 20 hours.
Wow.
Probably closer to 30 hours.
Holy cow, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I spent most of my weekend playing this game.
And what's it called again, just for the listeners?
Prison Architect.
Okay.
And it actually just had a PS4 release on Tuesday, which is this, you know, it's been out on Steam for a while. I think it was like it had early access, you know, back in earlier this, you know, either late last year or early this year.
Uh-huh.
And then it hit, because I'm reading through message boards. Yeah, and there's talk of, you know, Alpha Build 15 and Alpha Build 17. So I'm not sure where the game actually became official, you know, and complete, but apparently it's complete enough now to have a console release that has extra content that the Steam version doesn't yet have.
Hmm.
So if you like SimCity, you know, give this one a try. It's not on sale anymore. I think I paid like $8 for it. I'm not sure what normal price is, so I can try to look it up while we continue to talk. But you know, I enjoyed it.
Very cool. Right on, dude. So that is Prison Architect on Steam. Right on. So let's get into some listener mail, shall we?
Do it.
Justin, you're slacking on your do it responsibilities.
Oh, do it.
There you go.
Prison With Architect Gusto. Is actually $30.
Oh,
so me getting it for $8 on the sale was actually a pretty good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Price. Right on, dude. so Justin, what do we got some postman.
We do. And the postman is brought to us by patreon.com/NintendoDads. If you'd like to be a supporter, head on over there and support us. First one comes from Eli on Twitter. He says, guys, what Zelda game do you plan on playing before Breath of the Wild? I know you have bought a few of those that you have not played yet on the eShop. Which ones are you the most excited for? Good question. Eli on Twitter.
What do you think, Justin? What do you got?
You know what I'm going to play that I've never played is the original Zelda. Like the very first one for the NES.
Yeah, that's I never thought about that, but you're right. I think I own, actually, it's kind of sad how many of them I own now.
But oh, I'm pretty sure I own it also.
I'm pretty sure I own all of them. Like,
I know I own all of them at least once.
Okay, I don't own Skyward Sword, actually. I know that. So let's go through the list, right? So NES, we got Zelda and Zelda 2. I got both of those as ambassador titles on 3DS, so I know I have those. Link to the Past, I got while it was on sale in E3. whatever, during E3, there you go, on Wii U. So I paid like $4 or something like that for it. So I just picked that up. Then what? Ocarina of Time.
N64, yep. Ocarina and Majora.
Yep, both of those I have on 3DS, and I've played both of those. And then Twilight Princess I got for...
Wind Waker GameCube.
Oh, sorry, Wind Waker. No, I've played that, yeah. Princess. Maybe Twilight Princess is the one for me, because I have the that one, and I've played... I think I kind of lost steam around the Lake Hylia. Is it Lake Hylia, the one where you like, anyway, you have to like wear the boots and go down to the bottom. I think I'm at the point where like I have the boots, but if I jump into the water, then I'm going to drown. So I have to do something else. That's around where I'm at right now in that game.
Do you have the HD remake or just the original?
I've got the HD remake. So that's probably the one that I'll play. Either that, or I will finish Oracle of Ages, or both. What about you, Justin?
Yeah, I do think I'd go back to just the original. I want to start off.
I just asked you that.
Yeah, I was like, I'm still pretty solid on that answer. that doesn't change based on you reading a list. But there's a lot of great games. Like I picked up Minish Cap, A Link to the Past. Link Between Worlds is great. Zelda 2. You know what I haven't played, but I would like to, and I was hoping that it'd actually show up on the eShop, was Skyward Sword. Mm. I have not played that, and I've heard mixed reviews on it, but I kind of wish I had played it. So, yeah, that's a good question, though. Jesse, how about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of Zelda'd out. You know, Well, remember last year I played both Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and here's why I say I think I'm Zelda'd out for now. Doesn't mean I'll be forever, but for now. You know, about the HD remake, I tried playing it. I really couldn't get into it again. So I didn't, you know, I only played that for maybe an hour. Then I started Minish Cap, you know, while I was doing my travel. Didn't get very far in that. I got a little bit more into Link to the Past and Oracle. So I've been kind of bouncing around trying to find out something, what I want to continue to playing, and they always fall. No, this isn't scratching the itch.
So you think you're just going to take a breather?
Well, and then I bought Ocarina of Time on 3DS at the reduced $20 price before all these, I could have gotten it for 30% even more off with my coins. And I started playing that. I got maybe 3 hours in, and I ended up not ever saving it, and the power ended up killing my system. So I'm like, if I want to continue playing that, I got to start over, and that's a big downer.
Oh, that's the worst.
I'll either try that again. I might play Wind Waker again. Zelda 2 actually sounds interesting again. I'm a big fan of Zelda 2. I know that's not a common
opinion.
Opinion, but because I enjoyed the RPG elements.
Cool.
And if you know how to game it, it actually you can use it to your advantage. Like you have health, magic, just some health and magic meter. You know, starting at level 1, it goes up to level 8. So the higher your health is, the less damage you take when you get hit. And the higher the magic is, the less magic points each spell takes to cast.
Right.
Oh, and power. There is a third meter, power. So go from 1 to 8. So yeah, there's the enemy called the bubble that looks like a skull. You know, at level 1, literally takes like 64 hits to kill, but because they're worth 50 experience points, and that can ramp you up really, really fast.
Right.
But by the time you're level 8, they die in like 6 hits.
Yeah.
Right. So I tried to time like the second to last boss. Or I keep my health at level 7, so I try to get enough experience points. If I beat the second to last boss, that'll get me to level 8, which will then heal me, so I'm then fully prepared for the final boss instead of starting the final boss gimped.
Yeah.
So you can kind of game the system a little bit. I've played, about it in Virtual Console and played most of it, but I've never actually finished it as of, within the last 10 years. But when it was new, and I replayed it a few times in the 90s, and I'd get to the point where I finished it. But I haven't finished it in a while. So that one's the one I might replay. I'm also worried that the new game may not scratch the Zelda itch because it is so different from a Zelda.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You know what? That you're not the first person to say that. It seems like there's so much different about it.
I'm actually not a fan of Western RPGs. Skyrim doesn't interest me. Mass Effects scare me. There's just so much stuff to do. I don't know how to prioritize my time.
Right.
I own 2 or 3 Dragon Ages and never touched them.
Yeah.
I'm afraid this might land in the same thing. So I don't know.
I think
that's going to work out yet.
From what I saw on the streams, it seems like if the dungeons are similar to the shrines in how they're kind of laid out in the gameplay of the shrines, those actually reminded me more of like the Ocarina of Time type, gameplay than anything else in there, right? As far as like dragging blocks and stuff like that, in order to do the puzzles. I hope that is like when you step into a dungeon, it feels like a Zelda dungeon. I think if they're able to nail that, then all of the extra stuff that's in the overworld, I really don't care that much about. It will be cool, new, exciting, additions to it. But if they change the core gameplay of the dungeons specifically, I think that's a problem that they're going to need to convince me, or they're going to need to find another way of making it still feel like Zelda, like you were saying. So yeah, right on, man. Thanks, Eli, for your question. Next up, we have Chris. He says, hey, dads, I was thinking about launch games. If you had to make 2 franchises as launch exclusives from here forward, what 2 franchises would you choose? Keep in mind, there's usually a game drought at first. So what 2 franchises would you want to be exclusive titles from here on out? Launch exclusive titles from here forward. So I guess just kind of trying to understand the question. So the question, Justin, the way you understand it is like from now on, this franchise is only ever a launch franchise.
Yeah.
Raving Rabbids NX.
That's the way that I would put it.
Okay. I would say Nintendo Land.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they would be really smart to have some sort of a, now that I say that though, that was such a, it was such a wannabe Wii Sports that I almost, now that I actually say it, that I'm like, I think that's kind of weak.
I would have loved to see Nintendo Land too.
Yeah, but here's what I think they need to do. They need to combine Wii Party, the Wii Party franchise, and the Nintendo Land franchise and put them into one game. So
yeah, that's a good point.
So like do Nintendo Land Party or whatever you want to call it. Have it be with Party the Land. Wii. Yeah, like because what is like the Wii Party U, like I think like I picked up Wii Party U as like a freebie once because it was the only one I didn't get out of the I didn't already own out of all the different things. So I have Wii Party U and it is so bland that it drives me crazy, right? With the Wii skin or whatever, the Mii skin. But if you were to take that same sort of gameplay or like a Mario Party gameplay or something and kind of just take all that stuff and put it into one with Nintendo Land Party or something, make that a launch title with, and it's your classic sort of tech demo, whatever, right? And maybe make it really exciting. But I think that's a good one to start with.
We need the Return of the Rabbids.
No, I think honestly what we really need is because I can't remember what podcast I was listening to, but it was somebody was making the comment that I think it was if we ran Nintendo, is that what their podcast is?
That's the thing.
Yeah, and they were talking Sean and Bobby were talking about how the Mario game that launched the Wii U was New Super Mario Brothers U, which was a terrible idea. And if they would have taken, if they would have instead had Mario Galaxy 3 as that launch window game, it would have blown people away. It would have moved more systems and it would have been more impressive. And I totally agree with that. I think that an actual full blown, 3D Mario platformer, I think is the perfect thing to bring in a new system. It like exactly what it did for the N64, right? With Super Mario 64. I think that, so I would say Nintendo Land Party, and an actual full blown Mario 3D platformer.
See, and I agree with both your statements. So originally I was thinking Nintendo Land, but I think that, and I was thinking that'd be to keep capture your casuals, but I think we want to do something else. I do want to say the 3D Mario, so the Super Mario Galaxy 3, and then I think you need to hit them with a more mature, the second game launch title has to be more mature to get those other mature fans over. So I think that has to be either a Metroid or a Zelda has to be there. So I would say Metroid is what I would do, because that would help to kind of, and it has to be like a grittier Metroid as well. But those are my thoughts. Jesse, what about you?
I'm actually trying to look up a game because I can't think of the name of it. But this question is actually hard, because I don't think we want to have any franchise designated as the launch window franchise, presuming the way he worded it. Like, these games will be like Nintendo Land was the launch for Wii U, to have like another Nintendo Land for NX and another Nintendo Land for the next, whatever the next system is going to be. I think I found the name. We end up getting tech demo-y games, and some of, normally they're pretty bland and boring. Sometimes you get a hit like Wii Sports. Sometimes you get a travesty like Feel the Magic XYXX from DS. That was just a weird game.
I don't even know what you just said.
Look it up. Feel the Magic XYXX. It's from Sega. That is a really creepy game.
Cool.
You're touching girls.
Oh, wow. Somebody
didn't QA that one.
Wow. You know what, though?
Well, dude? It's just a silhouette of the girl. So
it's
the whole game is silhouette. So it's again really weird. But look it up. It's funny.
Tasty. That's still a thing in DS games with Fire Emblem. Just saying.
Got it. Wait. So then you have franchises that may have dried out that may be a good fit to be a kick in the butt to the console. Zelda in NX's case.
Yeah, I think that's a good really example. Good,
Metroid Prime-ish, not Federation
Can
Force.
Can we please just call it Metroid Prime-ish?
Yes. Because I don't know what it might be. A Metroid Prime, it might be something else, but something that's not Federation Force, where people are expecting that to be an NX launch title, because we haven't seen one since Other M. Wii U had no Metroid games.
Right.
Just like N64 had no Metroid games. So they're like skipping generations with this franchise. That makes me... So it depends on the environment, on what has happened in the previous generation. Does it make sense to have that as a launch title or more mid-season? So that's kind of a hard question to answer.
Okay. All right then.
Yeah, right.
Good
on,
question,
dude.
From Chris.
Absolutely.
How dare you make us think?
Yeah, don't make me think.
Next, speaking of thinking, Brian Welch, the power beard of the South, is going to make us think too.
I thought was that.
No. Oh, sorry. You have a good beard.
No, Brian, he's the
power beard.
The power beard.
Powerful beard of the internet. Brian asks, what games would you like to see on the NX? Because I'm hoping really for a turn to Super Mario Strikers. That's from Brian. Now, we actually had some other people who responded to this question as well on Twitter. No to Kid said Earthbound, and Earthbound. Brandon CHFG said, I'd love a new Animal Crossing game. New Leaf was my only experience. And Marty from Good Friends of Reactor Radio replied with Mega Man Sucker. So, guys, I know what I'd want. What game am I hoping to return back for the NX is Luigi's Mansion.
Dude, that's already good. Like, that's like all the there are rumors, I guess, right?
There are rumors. Rumor has it.
I like it.
Rumor has it.
I like it. Yeah, that's a good one. I could say the obvious that is Metroid Prime. I think that is ripe for a remake, or not a remake, a sequel. I'm gonna go out there and say the quintessential Earthbound collection. So like the Legacy Collection or something. Ooh. Basically a remastered version of Earthbound Beginnings, Earthbound, and Mother 3 all in one package. I think that's I'm gonna just put my stick in the sand.
That'll be your $80 game, that high end high coin.
And that's I mean they could even take that story and actually do like a full sort of, whether they want to put it in a 3D like a remake style, they could do that, or they could just remaster the graphics, make it, you know, even do like a, it would be cool to basically take Earthbound and Earthbound Beginnings, the whole thing, and basically give it the Link Between Worlds treatment, where it's still top down, it's still, you know, the sort of grid based whatever, very basics or very simple, but that same sort of perspective I think would be really cool. Square Enix actually recently did this with, I mean, I realize the scale is a lot different, but they recently did this with one of my favorite Game Boy games of all time, Final Fantasy Adventure. They just released on the Vita. It's called Adventures of Mana. So, and it's like a full remake of that.
Really?
Game. Yeah, it's really cool. And it's like $14 on the Vita or something like that. I'm really tempted.
I need to check that game out.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is that it's such a loyal remake to it. And it was such a simple game to begin with because it was on the Game Boy. But it's like a full 3D remake. Not 3D and like, you know, like a third person sort of deal. It's still top down, but reviews are not
polygonal models versus sprites.
Right. Yeah. But saying. I mean, I guess there have been multiple. This is the second attempt to remake this game. The first one was called Sword of Mana and on Game Boy Advance. But yeah, Adventures of Mana is just barely released on the Vita, and it's not great, but it, like, I mean, it's also like $14 on PlayStation Store, so it may be worth checking out. So I think that would be a really, really cool thing for them to do, is to just say, because they're kind of saying, you know what, we're not going to do another Mother game, we're not going to create another one, but at least having that like the ultimate collection of all three remastered would be super cool. So that is what I'm going to say. Jesse, did you say yours?
Did I? Oh, I didn't. One game that I'm surprised has never existed, which I don't think I'll ever play either, but it's because I don't like sports games.
Okay.
But you know, we've had
Mutant League Football. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Sports ball.
Sports ball is a real golf. Game.
We've had Mario Soccer. We've had Mario Baseball. You know, I'm surprised we haven't seen rugby or anything like that. But
attaboy.
Cricket. There you go.
Mario and Sonic, you know, at the Olympic Games. Like, they got rugby.
American football.
Oh yeah.
Why haven't we had that yet?
That's weird.
There's got to be some other country besides U.S. must have a like for that type of game, don't they?
I don't know, dude. That's
apparently
true.
Not. Apparently not Japan.
I don't know, dude. Japan. Yeah. Right on. Well, thank you for everyone for your questions and your, yes, for everything. You guys are the best. Like that's not even just like me being friendly. That's just fact. So, right on. Thanks again, everybody, for your emails. Of course, if you want to email us, nintendodads@gmail.com, we'll get you send it there and we will get it through the magic of the internet tubes. We will get it. Right on. Justin, do we have anything as we're kind of rounding out here?
July 10th, this Sunday, we're dropping our Retro Rewind for Punch Out episode. Thanks for everyone that played along with it. Speaking of Retro Rewind, for the month of July, we're playing Donkey Kong Country.
I totally, I downloaded it. I started playing it and I've never beaten that game. I've only probably gotten like one world into Donkey Kong Country. So I'm excited for this.
I'm so excited.
When that was new, you know, at the time I was in college, I actually had 100% of that game. Like 101% of that game.
Nice. It's pretty fun. And you know what? I've got to say, it looks pretty good on the new 3DS with that pixel perfect mode.
It does.
It looks pretty spanking. I don't know what that means. So right on, man. And then, of course, so let everybody start playing that. And again, we're going to have that Punch Out episode to you. We're going to record it right now, and it'll be there for you soon. So check it out. Right on. Anything else, Justin, as we're wrapping up here? I think that's about it, right?
I would just direct people over to Adam Leonard from Mega Dads, who does our amazing Nintendo Dads commission art. So check him out at redbubble.com. Or actually, just check him out at megadads.org. That's the best place to go.
Just check him out, period.
Just check him out. Subscribe. Him out. It's good. He's good stuff.
He's a good man. Right on.
Him and John. They're good nut.
Right on. So if you want to join us as well on all the social medias, you can do that. Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Nintendo Dads. You can email us, nintendodads@gmail.com. You can find us on the YouTubes or the Twitches. YouTube every Wednesday night, youtube.com/c/NintendoDads/live. You can call in and leave us a voicemail, 929-25-NDADS. It's 929-256-3237. If you want to buy some Nintendo Dads merch, you can go to tiny.cc/NintendoDadsStore. Big thanks to OC Remix for our music throughout the show, as well as to Carter Johnson and Adam Leonard for our amazing artwork. And if you want to change the world, people, which, what are you doing? Yes, you want to change the world. Go over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Written reviews are even better. The more reviews, the more the world will be able to enjoy Nintendo Dads. So go over there and do that. You guys are awesome. As well, if you want to subscribe to the show, you can do so over at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and of course, VGTribune.com. For me, for Justin, and for Jesse, we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.